What if kittens played the glockenspiel?
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we're starting off with a write-in question from a listener named Edison. Edison asks, what if magic didn't exist, and Fred the Dog, Abacus P. Grumbler, and Alabaster Zero save the day? Thank you, Edison. That sounds like a grand adventure. Oh, and thanks to Enda and all of our other listeners who had very similar questions about magic being lost. Now we've got one patron question to add on from June.
Hi, my name is June, and I love you. My question is, what if there was three people, and whenever a queen of frogs looked at them, they will turn to frogs.
All right, thank you, June, and thanks to June's sister, Susanna.
Now let me do our shout-out of the week.
Oh, hey, Abacus. Are you sure you've got time? You're supposed to be in this story.
Oh, no, it's easy. I can travel between dimensions at will.
Cool. As long as you're using magic safely.
Oh, Hufflepuff, of course I am.
If you say so.
Nina loves ice cream, her mom and dad, and her little brother Huxley.
Thank you, Nina. And now let's find out, what if there were three people and whenever the Queen of Frogs looked at them, they'd turn into frogs? And what if magic didn't exist? Fred the Dog and Alabaster Zero were meeting up in the swamp.
Yeah, Fred, do you know why we're meeting in the swamp?
Said Alabaster Zero, What If World's self-proclaimed greatest detective.
I thought this was your idea, said Fred the Dog.
He had trouble pronouncing some words because he was a pug with a tongue way too long for his mouth.
I thought this was your idea.
No way. This swamp is more vines than sticks. Not my style.
My New Year's resolution is to drive less.
Oh, that's a good one. There's so much traffic these days.
Did someone say magic?
An abacus appeared through a portal in the middle of the swamp.
No, Fred said traffic. Is that what you heard?
Oh, probably. It's so hard to hear from a parallel dimension full of frogs. Riveting all of the time.
You just visited a frog dimension? What was it like?
I don't know. Loud. Froggy.
Didn't you just, like, hidden behind a tree?
Didn't I have just hidden behind a tree? Of course I could have. But my New Year's resolution is to use magic more often.
Ooh, well, good thing my New Year's resolution is to be less judgmental of other people's resolutions. Or else I'd say that's a pretty bad idea.
Oh, you sound just like the Queen of Frogs. You've got to stop using magic so irresponsibly. Interdimensional travel isn't a toy, Croak.
Who's the Queen of Frogs?
Asked Alabaster.
Oh, just this major bummer from the frog dimension. Anyway, who wants to see me conjure a volcano from a lava planet?
Sure, I guess.
I could go for some lava.
And a murky green pond next to them started to bubble and steam from the center.
When
a tiny frog jumps through a tiny portal wearing a regal cape and crown.
Abacus P. Grumbler, you must cease your irresponsible use of magic.
What's that? I can't hear you over the sound of this volcano I'm conjuring in the middle of this pond.
I said stop your magic, or you and your friends will be punished.
Whoa, wait. I'm just trying not to be judgmental.
And I'm just trying to save myself a drive to this lava planet.
You're letting your friend put a volcano in the middle of a beautiful, diverse swamp. How would you feel if someone dropped a flaming mountain on your house?
Pretty flat, I guess.
That's a good one.
Very droll.
And the three boys started high-fiving each other as the pond started bubbling even more violently.
That's it,
said the Queen of Frogs, fixing them with a bug-eyed stare that only the most regal of frog kind had mastered. And Abacus, Fred, and Alabaster started turning into frogs themselves.
If you cannot respect the way of the frog, then you shall live as us on a log until the day that...
How dare you transform me? Now I'm going to have to turn the whole world in the opposite direction in order to turn back time so that we'll be back to normal.
No way that could work.
Well, we won't know until we try.
Sorry, can I finish my curse?
Ooh, if we're traveling back in time, can we go back to the third grade so I can convince myself not to get that haircut?
I don't see why not.
Oh, and we should probably stop off with some prehistoric oranges. You know, it's flu season and you need that vitamin C boost.
Oh, indubitably.
That's it. The three of you do not deserve a world with magic. You cannot cast responsibly. So magicless frogs you will be. Until the day...
Wait, you can't use magic to get rid of magic. It's absurd.
Please stop interrupting my curse.
I mean, if spinning the world backwards can change time, I guess magic can get rid of magic.
I don't know about that, Alabaster.
You know what? Fine. I was going to tell you how to end the Caribbean curse. But I guess you don't care, so good luck.
And the Queen of Frogs disappeared, leaving Alabaster as an old warty frog with a pointy hat, and Fred as a stinky black and white frog with an even bigger tongue than usual, and Alabaster as a grizzled stubbly frog with a pair of extra dark sunglasses.
Oh, Ribbit.
This croaks.
Yeah, I'm not exactly jumping for joy either. Let's just hop out of this swamp.
And the three frogs started hopping away. But before they could get very far...
Yeah, what manner of beast is that?
It's just our stomachs. You never been alone on the street like me.
Oh, I forgot you used to be a stray dog. Well, so how do we survive?
Fellas, we gotta do what frogs do. And eat some bugs.
Oh, just make sure you don't eat any talking bugs, okay?
But it seemed the highest concentration of bugs was back by the pond they just left. So back they hopped, hungry as could be, until they filled their froggy gullets with a small swarm of bugs.
Ooh, I really miss my car right now. Traffic or no.
Yeah, and I sort of wish I'd spoken up when I thought this magic was a bad idea.
And I've realized that living without magic or machines is very difficult. So we should appreciate what we have. I said, so we should appreciate what we have.
Why are you just calling out to the swamp like that?
We just ate all the bugs. I don't know who would be listening.
I'm showing that we learned our lesson, and that should break the curse. Yes, I can feel myself changing. Okay, no, that was just a burp.
Yeah, I think we should find some shelter for the night.
Maybe we'll solve this curse mystery tomorrow.
And the three of them huddled together that night under a little stone outcropping, looking out for owls and snakes and any other predators that might make a meal out of them.
Yummy bugs.
Gotta solve this mystery. Look cool doing it.
The next morning, Abacus leapt out of bed.
And with morning's light, they were clear. Exactly the same. But I don't get it. We learned our lesson.
Yeah, but the Queen of Frogs made there be no magic.
I don't see your point.
Well, in a world without magic, learning your lesson might not magically set everything back to normal.
Ridiculous.
ridiculous.
No abacus. Unridiculous.
Unridiculous.
And as they leapt out from their little stone shelter, their stomachs grumbling, their long tongues ready to eat some bugs, they peered through a haze of steam. To see...
Oh, dear.
Abacus, is that your volcano?
I thought we stopped that spell.
Well, I guess I already halfway cast it.
And indeed, as the haze cleared, they realized that the entire pond had dried up around one fiery little volcano that seemed to be bubbling and trickling lava that slowly burned and sizzled its way through the damp swamp.
Oh, great. You scared away all the bugs, Abacus.
Oh, great. Oh, now I see. We've just got to save the day.
Excuse me.
Yes, it was the other part of the what-if question, don't you remember?
The what-if what?
Oh, no, Professor Grumbler.
A what?
Alabaster doesn't know about the whole what-if question thing.
I know about what-if questions. I just don't know what you guys are talking about.
You don't think we can tell him?
I think it would break his brain to know that this is an imaginary world and that the questions that kids ask affect the world around us and we really have very little control over what we say and do.
What are you talking about?
I should have whispered that.
I'm fiction?
Okay, so now we can save the day by unbreaking Alabaster's brain.
Oh, I don't know if we have time for that. Look...
And the bubbling of the little volcano was starting to speed up into an all-out eruption.
Oh, how are we going to help our friend and save the swamp?
And also not get lavaed.
And also not get lavaed when we're stuck as frogs without magic.
I mean, does it really matter?
Come on, Detective Zero, we need your help.
No, you just need a kid to ask a what-if question. It doesn't matter what I do.
That's it,
cried Abacus. Even as the heat of the lava caused the whole swamp to smoke and smolder.
Even when you feel like you have no control, you can still choose what you do.
Oh, that's gotta be the lesson.
You're right, Abacus. And I choose to cower here in fear and wait for some kid's what-if question to save me. Ribbit.
Oh, we're gonna croak.
Ribbit.
And so our three would-be heroes waited for your question to help save the day. The end. For now. All right, Edison and June, I hope you enjoyed your story. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Craig Martinson for our theme song, and all you kids at home who know that even without magic, you are capable of amazing things. Until we meet again, keep wondering.
You're listening to the International Children's Arts Network. ICANN is a radio station dedicated to kids like you. On air and online at icannradio.org. There you can find coloring pages, activities, and a ton of informational blogs. That's ICANN.